Good morning and welcome to The Conversation. I'm Chris Vandercook. Good morning, Beth Ann.
We got to stop dancing now?
Had to hear a little bit of Percy, the song that took him from hospital nurse to hit recording artist.
And he died earlier this morning. Yeah. Glad you're able to slip that in. And good morning to you two and welcome to The Conversation. Talking about the long time ago, 70 years ago, on April 18th, 1945, Ernie Pyle lost his life in the war in the Pacific. If you're wondering who Pyle was, you've just answered the question why the foundation named in his honor exists. Long before up-close and personal interviews became ubiquitous, he told the stories of the war only through the eyes of the soldiers, every day, for 3 years. Jerry Machino is one of the Ernie Pyle Foundation directors. He's in Honolulu for a remembrance and dedication of a memorial stone at Punch Bowl, where Pyle is buried. We sat down yesterday, and I asked him how he'd introduce Ernie Pyle to a generation that might be totally unfamiliar with his work.
Ernie Pyle had a unique style of reporting. It started back when he was young. As an aviation reporter, he reported on the people at the time, not so much about the planes they flew. He then went on to travel to the United States and did the same thing. He was very, very close to the people themselves. He believed in human interest, the human interest of people. One of the things that he always had stated is that he thought that the individual mattered. We hear about, like, who matters today, and Ernie was good at that. He didn't talk about the big picture. He talked about what was going on every day, and that was what he reported on. And this has continued, of course, as he went into the war efforts. He was able to go into the trenches, in the foxholes with the soldiers. He was able to talk to them, get their feelings, and then report those feelings back so that people understood what was going on. A lot of people say, "I understand." Well, they don't really sometimes because they haven't been there. But Ernie was a person that knew what the meaning "I understand" was because he was there every day, 365 days out of the year, with the soldiers.
How do you think Ernie Pyle would view Ernie Pyle journalism circa 2015?
Well, I think he wouldn't change that much, but obviously he would probably have to adapt to the new technology somewhat, but it would never change from how he felt about the common people themselves. He felt that they did not have a voice at times, and this is his way of getting them to have an opportunity to express themselves, express their feelings, express their thoughts, and you can still do that today. I think that's probably what the younger people should take back from this, is that his style of journalism should not go away, and we have moved away from it, as we know today when you look at the media. Ernie today, I think, could be outstanding because he would be the only one continuing to do what made him successful.
He was a great friend of John Steinbeck. Was Steinbeck's work somewhat of an influence on his, or vice versa?
I think it was, but I can't say if I know for sure, but they were good friends. And usually when those circumstances happen between two people kind of in the same industry, I'm sure there was some effect on it, and Don Steinbeck was always explaining explicitly about why Ernie was a great correspondent, and that was that there was two wars going on at the time. One was the General's War, and one was Ernie Pyle's War, and Ernie Pyle's War was dedicated to the soldiers, and he knew exactly what the soldiers went through every day in the mud, in the trenches, washing their socks and in their helmets.
The way we look at war now, do you see anyone who is operating in that style?
There are some embedded in the troops, and some have lost their lives in these current wars. I think they have tried somewhat, but I don't think anybody is truly working in the same concept as Ernie was. One of the things that's really important is that Ernie did not like war. I mean, he went on record with that. He thought war was really, really bad because obviously he saw every day all of them killed And that had a big effect on Ernie and his personal life.
What specifically?
Because he didn't like war. It was hard for him at times. In writing articles and writing his dispatches, he struggled. When you're trying to share somebody's feelings back home to people, to families, et cetera, he wanted to make sure they clearly understood it, but he also somewhat tempered some of the atrocities that happened in the war.
You said it also affected his personal life. He made a lot of choices based on what he did, and he knew going into it, knew, we should say, sort of at the gut level, that he wasn't going to come back from that war.
Yes, he must have had some extra sense that we don't understand, but, I mean, he had to put out a dispatch every day, 365 days out of the year, deadline, for those 3 years, and doing it in a foxhole with a typewriter, which is not easy. So he did. He made a lot of sacrifices. He certainly knew that he had a mission, and I think that he knew that that mission might end sometime early in his life.
Which it did on April 18th, 1945, which is why April 18th is the day that commemorates his life and his contribution. We would kind of expect that to be a really big deal at his alma mater, Indiana University. But it's also kind of a big deal here in Hawaii. There's going to be a commemoration up at Punch Bowl. Why Hawaii?
Well, Ernie was interned here in the cemetery in 1949. A very famous person here by the name of Buck Buckwalk read the eulogy. He continued that every 5 years for quite a few years. So there was a lot of history here. In the meantime, with our 70th anniversary, we are reviving the tradition that was started by Buck many, many years ago. And I think that because of that, the tradition here is important to the people of Hawaii.
How do you ensure that this is going to continue and that his legacy is going to be known?
Well, we've formed the Ernie Pyle Legacy Foundation with family Pyle members. Several years ago, we had a lot of phone calls from folks telling us that we need to organize something because we are family members, and we decided to do it. In order to ensure the legacy of Ernie Pyle, there needed to be some organization that was looking after every aspect of it, and at the time, there was none.
None. No, not even the journalism school. No one who was looking at Ernie Pyle.
Not in the journalism aspect. There is a war museum in Dana, Indiana, but nothing else on a larger scale. And so that's what our foundation is trying to do, is to revive and ensure the legacy of Ernie Pyle. And the foundation is looking in the future of doing more educational programs, possibly some workshops and seminars, and creating as many public events and awareness that we can. Because we think through doing something in the educational area, we can get the message to the younger generation, which we know we don't have at this time.
Well, we wish you lots of good luck with that. Glad you're in Hawaii, and hope it all goes well on the 18th.
Thank you.
Jerry Machino is one of the directors of the Ernie Pyle Legacy Foundation. 7 of the 8 foundation members are Pyle family members, and that would include Jerry's wife, Wynn. The group will dedicate a memorial stone this coming Saturday. Mayor Caldwell has declared April 18th, 2015, to be Ernie Pyle's 70th anniversary commemoration day. The ceremony will be at the National Memorial Cemetery of the Pacific, where Ernie Pyle is buried. And unlike the smooth memorial headstones of others, his will be a little rough around the edges. His family says he'd appreciate that, because he was, too. Details are on Facebook at Hawaii Conversation.
In their eyes, as they pass, is not hatred, not excitement, not despair, not the tonic of their victory. There is just the simple expression of being here, as though they had been doing this forever, nothing else. They're just guys from Broadway and Main Street, but you wouldn't remember them. They're too far away now. I love the infantry because they are the underdogs. They are the mud, rain, frost, and wind boys.